The 2017 Knock Knights are on the air. WISR 680 AM in Butler and the MSA Sports Network now present the live broadcast of Knock High School Football 2017. Tonight's broadcast of Knock Football is presented in part by the John W. Thrower Concrete Corporation of Saxonburg, Troy Allen Chevrolet and GMC in Slippery Rock, and Troy Allen Buick in Kittanning, Kelly's Family Restaurant on Main Street in Saxonburg, the United States Air Force, the law firm of Dylan McCandless, King, Coulter & Graham, United Plate Glass in Butler, Butler County District Attorney Rich Goldinger, the Butler Health System, Robert Stevens Custom Jewelers, and Slippery Rock University. Tonight's broadcast can also be heard online at WISR680.com and, as always, on the MSA Sports Network at msasports.net. Time now for the Coach's Show, a visit with Knock head coach Frank Whalen prior to tonight's kickoff. Now let's go to the coach's office, and here's the radio voice of the Knock Knights, Scott Briggs.
Well, the Knock Knights getting ready tonight to take on the Little Indians of Indiana back home. In fact, three of the next four games at home for the Knock Knights. Coach, that's got to be a good sign. At least you're going to be home three out of four. You can go on a real nice run here.
Absolutely. We told our kids this week that we reminded them of the Knock team from 2009. That was a team that started off 0-5 in 2009. And then we went on a run. And we came one play away from beating Mars for the conference championship game that year. So, you know, anything can happen. This group of kids reminds me a lot of that team from 2009. Tough kids, mentally tough kids. Kids don't quit. They keep working. They keep believing. And when you do that, you know, anything's possible.
Well, we talked a little bit about, before we got started here tonight, about the stretch you guys have been on, the teams you faced the last three or four games. That's been pretty rough. You faced the top teams, a lot of the top teams in Quad A, and have stayed with them in the second half. Give us your assessment of these last few games.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at the combined record of these previous four teams that we just played. West Mifflin, beginning with West Mifflin, they're in second place in their conference. Then we had Highlands. Then we had the top two teams in our conference, South Fayette and Montour. South Fayette 6-0. Montour is 4-1. And Montour was very close to being undefeated, save for a couple of penalties and turnovers against Mars. So in particular, the last 2 weeks, South Fayette and Montour, those were – it's extremely tough playing teams like that back-to-back. And but, you know, obviously we lost those games, but we saw major improvement in different areas. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Scott. Defensively, we showed that once we settle down, we can play with anybody. But we just have to settle down, lock into our reads. Once we do that, we're fine. We just have to now start that process a heck of a lot faster for the last four games of the year.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Montour game. What do you take out of that on a positive side in terms of your offense especially? The defense, we know, played exceptionally well second half. Offensively, what do you take out of there as a positive?
Well, I think the big positive and the most consistent positive this year has been the offensive line. Our run blocking was good. We pretty much were able to handle their defensive line as far as getting movement on them. It's just, you know, a lot of things have been happening to us, you know, different, you know, like this past week against Montour, I think we fumbled the ball five times. Now, we lost two of them. But still, when you put the ball on the ground five times, those are drive killers. Any momentum you had has now been lost. And especially if you turn the ball over like we did in our own territory, that is very bad. So, you know, a positive takeaway offensively was the fact that if we protect the football, we have the guys up front that we can move the ball. But we have to be able to protect the football, and we didn't do that last week.
Well, coming into this home stretch, again, we mentioned three out of four games at home. You've got the Little Indians of Indiana, and this is an offense that your guys have to be very familiar with simply because they essentially run the same kind of thing. When you see Indiana, do you see yourself in that?
Well, I mean, you're right. They used to run the same exact offense that we do. I don't know if you're aware of those, Scott, but they actually changed. They have a new head coach, and they went to a different offense maybe beginning last year. I'm not sure. But they're going to be very familiar, as you point out, with our offense because that's what they ran. So they'll know exactly what fronts to get into, but you're going to see a couple little surprises from us tomorrow night as well offensively.
The Indiana comes into this, their record not too strong. What have you seen on film? What do they throw at you? What concerns you about them?
They are a lot like us. Big physical offensive line that handles the line of scrimmage. They shoot themselves in the foot. They fumble the football. They commit penalties, just like we've been doing the past couple of weeks. So tomorrow night, it's really going to come down to which offense can put everything together and be mistake-free.
And the fact that you're at home has got to give you a little bit of an advantage on that, right?
Absolutely. We're at home. We're on grass. They're not used to playing on grass. So, you know, we'll take that as a positive in our column.
What about health-wise? You didn't seem to anybody got really banged up last week. You guys still pretty healthy?
We're pretty healthy, unfortunately. We lost one of our captains this week, A.J. Karenbauer. He's got some medical concerns going on. We're praying that everything is going to be well there, and we'll get him back in a couple of weeks.
Well, when you look at the rest of your schedule, you've got Indiana. Of course, that's coming up here tonight. Then you've got to go to Newcastle. And then home against Ambridge, and then finish out the season with Mars. This is a pretty interesting stretch of games for you guys. You got to be excited about how you can finish out the season.
Absolutely. Our destiny is in our own hands. If we win out, we're in the playoffs. It's that simple. So, and that's what it's going to be. Now, that's a tall task, but we're certainly capable of doing it. If we play to the best of our potential, we can play with anybody. But we have to play to our potential. We have to play mistake-free football, especially, again, on the offensive side of the ball.
We saw you last week against Montour spell out your backs a couple of times, especially the two side guys. You used a couple other guys. Were you just trying to get them some work, or give them a little bit of a break?
Well, I mean, we have really good young A-backs, which is our wing backs, and they're just getting better and better and better. And so they're going to play. I think we mentioned on a prior show, Scott, we're a pretty young team. We're regularly playing six sophomores this year, and these kids are good. They're going to be extremely good. And a couple of them are in that rotation that you just pointed out.
All right, when you look at the season so far, first year as a head coach, what strikes you as being most different being the head coach versus being an assistant? What's different, especially on game days?
I think the different what's different is the fact that I got to be, keeping my eye on both sides of the football. Of course, I'm still the defensive coordinator here, but I'm the guy that understood this offense and brought this offense in. So I have to keep my eyes on the offensive side of the ball too. And that's really the biggest adjustment for me is just being able, you know, I can't just settle in on the defense. I have to kind of, you know, be watching what's going on the offensive side of the ball too. And, so that's probably the biggest adjustment.
And of course, Lance Ertis is calling the offense. And we sort of were watching you last week. You were a little bit further down the field from him. How much conversation goes on between the two of you in terms of what kind of offense you're going to run?
Early on in the year, I was doing both, calling the offense and the defense. But Lance, has been really becoming a student of this offense. And so a couple of weeks ago, we sat down and said, listen, I'm going to start to distance myself from the offensive side of the ball and just focus a little bit more on the defensive side. So, you know, that's the process that we're trying to go through now. But we still are in communication, obviously, with what is going on and how we're blocking certain things, you know, as far as that goes. But I think we have a very capable staff, and they're really really understanding the nuances of this offense. And I think, more importantly, our kids are now. They're understanding that this offense is all about angles. It's all about, you know, just real little details. And if you're not paying attention to those details, it's the difference between a 4-yard or a 40-yard gain. And they're starting to understand that. So I'm anticipating a lot of positive things offensively this last half of the year.
All right, we talk about on the show and everything, we talk about Friday nights. But Saturday, you guys are being pretty successful, too, with the JV squad.
Absolutely. Again, we have, as I mentioned already, we have some really good young players. And so they're most importantly, Scott, they're learning how to win. And that's big. So when they come up with us next year full time, they will have already known how to win and are now expecting to win. And that's critical, especially for a young high school kid.
All right, well, let's hope we can pick up the win tonight, get back on the winning track, and put together a nice stretch of games here at the end of the season, and still keep our fingers crossed we can get into the playoffs.
Absolutely. Thank you, Scott.
All right, good luck tonight against Indiana. It's the Knock Knights and the Little Indians coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We'll head to the stadium right after this.
The law offices of Dillon McCandless King, Coulter, and Graham take pride in the services they provide for the clients they serve. In litigation, personal injury, corporate and business law, real estate, zoning and land use, as well as labor and employment law. The law offices of Dillon McCandless King, Coulter, and Graham can meet all your legal needs. Conveniently located in Butler and Cranberry, contact them at 724-283-2200. That's 283-2200.
A rock-solid education is a critical step in achieving life's goals. Choose from programs that lead to exciting careers in health, science, engineering, technology, business, communication, education, or the performing arts. With over 150 undergraduate majors and 30 graduate programs, Slippery Rock University has been the best choice, first choice, of students across the nation for 125 years. Slippery Rock University. Experience the difference. Learn more about SRU's innovative, flexible, and affordable programs by visiting sru.edu.
Attorney General number PA4619.
The following takes place at 2:33 a.m. in the offices of Schneider's 1 Hour.
We're getting a lot of calls tonight, Mr. Schneider.
Sure are, Mike. Schneider's 1 Hour, this is Gary.
Absolutely, Mrs. Davis. We'll be there in 15 minutes. Steve, Mrs. Davis' furnace is out on West Jefferson.
On my way.
Just sit tight, Mr. Miller. We'll see you in a minute. Ashley, the Miller's on Liberty Street.
Got it.
Remember, let them lead you to the problem.
So you can get them comfort in no time.
This is what it's all about. Right, Mr. Schneider?
Being available for people 24/7.
Days, nights, and weekends.
And always arriving on time.
Or you don't pay a dime.
That's the Schneider's 1 Hour code.
Always here to help.
When you need it.
Not just when we feel like it.
All right, Schneider's 1 Hour.
To the rescue.
283-8525.
Schneider's 1 Hour. On time, day or night.
283-8525.
We're just a few minutes away from tonight's Knock football game here on WISR and the MSA Sports Network. Now let's go live to the press box. Here's Scott Briggs and Dave Bacon.
And welcome back here to Saxonburg as we get set for the start of tonight's game. The Knock Knights taking on Indiana. Here's our national anthem from the Knock Band. Thank you. And the Dock High School Band gets us started tonight with our national anthem here on WISR. Also online at WISR680.com. And the Trib Live Sports Network officially changing its name today to the from MSA Sports to Trib Live. Hi, everyone. I'm Scott Briggs. Alongside is Dave Bacon tonight. The Knock Knights home against the Little Indians of Indiana, as you heard us talking with Coach about just a few moments ago. The Knights in search of their second win of the season, Dave. And as we mentioned in talking with Coach, we've got four games left. And the Knights need to run the table here if they're going to be able to pull off a playoff spot.
Well, the Indiana Little Indians, where did I go? There I went. The Indiana Little Indians are actually in kind of the same spot, Scott.
Exactly.
They're 1-4, the same record as the Knock Knights are. So this is going to be a battle of survival kind of this evening here for any hopes of the WPIL playoffs.
And again, Coach said, you know, if we win out, we're in. I'm not so sure that's actually really correct. It's going to probably come down to Gardner points. At some point, if indeed that happens, but in order for Knock to get into the playoffs, they've got to get past Indiana. The Little Indians have won the last four meetings going back to 2013, Knock's last win in 2012. And Indiana has really looked at this game against Knock as their ticket to the playoffs the last couple of years. They have to get past the Knights to get to the playoffs. And years before that, from 2009 to 2012, Knock won all four of those games and knocked Indiana out of the playoffs, I think, just about every year. Indiana was still in the running. And when they played Knock, that was it. Once Knock beat them, they were done.
You know, it was at 2011 we went up to Indiana, and, boy, Knox just started out flat. They were down two or three scores in the first half, early in the first half, and by halftime they had evened the score and went on to just rout the Indians in the second half.
Yeah, Knox trailed in that one 24-7 in the second quarter, but won 56-31. So when you look at that, just amazing how much scoring was going on. Of course, 2011, the year the Knights went to the WPIL championship game at Heinz Field against Montour, and they won the following year 20-14 over Indiana here at Knock. But three of the last 4 years they played at Indiana. Of course, one of those was a restructuring year, so you don't get that home and home situation. You end up playing twice in one place. And so Indiana with a win last year, 31-21. But Indiana's lost not only their head coach, left a couple years ago, and they have a new offensive system you heard Coach talking about, but they also lost some pretty talented football players. And, you know, you had the Stapleton boys, and they just sort of killed us for years.
Oh, yeah, there was two of them. They were just excellent wide receivers, I believe.
Yeah, and just – it seemed like any time we played them, those guys over that stretch of years, and probably 2013 and 14, and even into 2015 perhaps, there was still there. But Knock coming off the loss last week to Montour, and again another game where you give up a lot of points, and you also give up the football a lot of times. And your coach said we fumbled it five times, lost it twice. But again, a good second half defense for Knock in that one, Dave. They didn't give up much in the second half.
No, they didn't, and they did clean up the penalties, too, a lot. You know, a couple games ago down at Highlands, they had over 100 yards in penalties, most of it in the second half. Last week, three penalties for 30 yards, so they've cleaned that up a lot. They need to get the offense clicking. They just never really got the offense in rhythm last week.
And I think as what Coach said is that we just can't give up points that quickly. You know, before you knew it, Montour up 14-0 and a couple of big plays, and then Knock went into turning the ball over and you know, taking some chances, allowed Montour to get up 28-0 in that game. Then Knock scoring the field goal right at the end of the half, make it 28-3, and they lose 35-3. But you look at the South Fayette game, Knock didn't give up many points in the second half of that game, didn't give up any points against West Mifflin in the second half, and you're looking, as Coach said, at the combined record of the teams that they've faced is like 18-3.
Oh, yeah, well, you've got South Fayette, who's the number one or number two team ranked in Quad A. You've got Montour, who is, I think, number four ranked in Quad A. You know, those have been your last two opponents. This is a very, very competitive section in Quad A.
And you don't get better by playing the Patsy teams. You get better by playing the good teams, and perhaps the Knights have have figured out what they need to do in order to do that. And we'll see how they're able to put that all together here tonight when they take on the Little Indians in a game here in Saxonburg on the natural grass. And we had a little bit of rain yesterday, a little bit of rain today, but Dave, the field looks to be absolutely perfect.
It does. It does, Scott. They keep it well watered and trimmed up nicely here. I heard my own grass was sighing yesterday during the rain.
Yeah, they you know, give Chris Reiser and his crew a lot of credit for keeping this field in great condition. Despite no rain, they do have a well out back here that was drilled a few years ago by Roger Davis and allows them to pull some water out and can just do that right out of the ground. Don't have to plug into the water system in town, and able to keep the field in great condition. Plus, they're playing soccer games on it. Boys and girls soccer are also playing on the field, and you've got the Saturday games with the Spartans. So it is seeing some use, and really doesn't look a whole lot worse for the wear, and we're just down to about 4 weeks left in the season.
Well, we haven't had any real muddy nights. It barely rained the whole month of September. And
right.
There's a lot of times by this time of the year that you see spots down around the 20 and 25, so between the hash marks, between the 15 and the 30, you see big bare spots. Yeah. But there's nothing torn up on this field.
All right, it's Doc and the Little Indians of Indiana. We've got more in the pregame show when we come back here to Saxonburg, and we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Knock Football here on WISR, WISR680.com, and the Trib Live High School Sports Network.
Over the past two decades, United Plate Glass has forged a name for itself synonymous with quality, service, and reliability. By combining the most advanced equipment, the best people, and a dedication to fulfilling their customers' needs, United Plate Glass has set itself apart from its competition. UPG wants to encourage all the high school athletes, forge a name for yourself and your school through hard work, determination, teamwork, and pride in your performance. Good luck, Knock Knights football players and cheerleaders from United Plate Glass.
Just when you thought you had your best deal,
it's Troy, the deal-making man.
The Dealmaking Man assures you have your absolute best deal on every new and used Troy Allen, Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC. The Dealmaking Mugs are here. Get yours now and receive an additional $200 off your next deal. At Troy Allen, we're good to the last deal.
The Dealmaking Man saved us thousands.
Meet the real Dealmaking Man today at Troy Allen, Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC in Slippery Rock.
Kelly's Restaurant at 130 West Main Street in beautiful downtown Saxonburg is proud to sponsor Knock High Football on WISR. If you're looking for a different place for breakfast or lunch, try Kelly's Monday through Saturday, 5:30 to 2 and 7 to 2 on Sundays. Check out our famous number one breakfast special with two eggs, bacon, sausage, or ham, home fries, and toast for only $5.50. For variety, our lunch specials change monthly. Come to Kelly's for great American food at great prices in downtown Saxonburg. Phone 724-352-4990.
Put your ABET accredited engineering degree to work in an exciting new career as an Air Force officer. We're looking for applicants interested in one of 18 possible technical career fields, such as electrical, mechanical, or computer systems engineering. If you'd like to gain world-class leadership and job experience, consider the Air Force. For more information, call Master Sergeant Talia Walters at 814-762-9330 or visit airforce.com. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
And back here in Saxonburg, as we get set to take on the Little Indians tonight. Indiana leads the series dating back to 1988, first time they played. They lead the series 9-8 over Knock. They played in 88-89, then didn't play again until 2002, but have played every year pretty much since then. And have had some pretty good games, these two teams, so we're looking forward to that here tonight. It's Knock and the Little Indians of Indiana, and it's all coming your way here. Coming up next on WISR. Kickoff just moments away. Back after this.
A few years ago, I coined the phrase for Robert Stevens Jewelers, making beautiful memories on Main. I'd like to take that a step further and add, making your dreams come true on Main. You dream it up, and with Steve's creativity and 30 years behind the goldsmith bench, along with computer-aided drawings, he's going to make it happen. It's obvious, you can't fake experience. On Main Street in Butler, it's Robert Stevens Jewelers, taking dreams and making memories.
Butler Health System's FasterCare locations offer flu shots and urgent care treatments for minor illnesses, injuries, sprains, and more. Located at Butler Commons in Butler, Franklin Village Mall in Katanning, Malone Road in Sarver, and Innovation Drive in Slippery Rock. BHS FasterCare offers walk-in physicals for school, sports, work, and more. FasterCare, caring at the speed of your life. Visit bhsfastercare.org. Most insurance is accepted, including UPMC and Highmark.
A rock-solid education is a critical step in achieving life's goals. Choose from programs that lead to exciting careers in health, science, engineering, technology, business, communication, education, or the performing arts. With over 150 undergraduate majors and 30 graduate programs, Slippery Rock University has been the best choice, first choice, of students across the nation for 125 years. Slippery Rock University. Experience the difference. Learn more about SRU's innovative, flexible, and affordable programs by visiting sru.edu.
It's kickoff time for the Knock Knights here on WISR 680 AM Radio in Butler. Tonight's broadcast of Knock Football is presented in part by the John W. Thrower Concrete Corporation of Saxonburg, Troy Allen Chevrolet GMC in Slippery Rock, and Troy Allen Buick in Katanning, Kelly's Family Restaurant on Main Street in Saxonburg, the United States Air Force, the law firm of Dillon McCandless King Coulter and Graham, United Plate Glass in Butler, Butler County District Attorney Rich Goldinger, the Butler Health System's Faster Care, Robert Stevens Custom Jewelers, and Slippery Rock University. Now back to the press box and tonight's game. Once again, here's Scott Briggs and Dave Bacon.
And welcome back to Saxonburg. Both teams on the field as we get set for the start of tonight's game. Knock and the Little Indians of Indiana as the Knock Band performs. A beautiful night here for high school football in early October. Had a little bit of rain last week before the game. Drizzle around here today, but just a beautiful night for football on the natural grass. Good crowd filing in here in Saxonburg. A little late arriving crowd, but nonetheless showing up for tonight's game. Three more tonight and two more home games the remainder of the season. So Knock with three of their final four at home. And that's always got to feel good for you when you know you're going to finish out your season at home.
Oh, yeah, you've got some tough teams to play here yet. Winnable games in Newcastle next week, Ambridge the following week. Finish out the season against the Mars Planets, Ambridge and Mars, both here at Knock Knight Stadium.
And there'll be some big game. Boy, I still say that Mars game's for a playoff spot somewhere, somehow, yeah, for somebody.
Yep. You know, I mean, you commented about you didn't know if the Knights won out, if they were automatically in the playoffs, but bottom line is to have a chance.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Basically have to win out, and then yep. It's up to some other people outside of here.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You'd think with three losses, you'd be able to get in on a, with 10 teams, but nine teams, but that's not always the case. Captains for both teams heading to the center of the field, and they always have the coin toss about a half hour ago, and the Knights won the toss, deferred to the second half. But the Knight captains on the field tonight, A.J. Karenbauer in street clothes, Ivan Stapchuk, Jake Harrett, and joining them tonight, Nick Martin and Andrew Mullen.
And for the Indiana Little Indians, Brandon Brocious, Carlos Carter, Brant Newman, and Alex Donahue.
And the Little Indians will be in white with black numerals and black helmets with the red eye on them. While the Knock Knights in the home blues, white pants, blue jerseys, white numerals, and gold helmets. Indiana will defend the goal to the right. That's the scoreboard end of the field, for those of you familiar with Knox Stadium. And we'll be set to go. Both teams 1-3 in conference play. Both teams needing a win to keep any playoff hopes alive. Well, Frank Whalen told us in a pregame that we'll see some surprises from the Knock offense, and it'll take us a while to see them because the Knights are going to come out defensively. But as Coach said last night during a pep rally we had up in Saxonburg, there's some changes defensively, putting some guys in different positions defensively.
Based on kind of what they're expecting to see,
yep,
from the Indiana offense.
So we'll sort of watch for those couple of things and differences. Indiana is set to receive this kickoff from Matt Gore. Back deep to receive, Shane Zappi. Or, I'm sorry, that's the wrong team. Nathan Hilliard. And Thomas Arbuckle for Indiana. And Matt Gore set to kick it away. And we are underway, coming to the near side. Looks like Arbuckle will field it at the 11-yard line. Cuts back towards the center of the field. Looks to head upfield. And then is spun down inside the 20-yard line at about the 18-yard line. Jared Schreckengost with the tackle. And the Indians will start inside their 20-yard line. So the knock defense look a little bit different. We're still going to see Scott Frazier back there. And again, Frazier with the cast or soft cast, something on that left hand. We're going to see Jake Harrett move up to a linebacker spot. So knock going with just three defensive backs here against Indiana, and they line up in the eye with receivers to either side. Quarterback is Luke Thomas, and Thomas hands off to the second back through, and that's Ethan Marcosi, and Marcosi will go nowhere as knock collapses the middle. Well, actually, they give him a yard. I didn't think he had a yard, Dave, but they give him a yard to the 19.
Gave him a yard, but you're right. I didn't think he got that far.
And quarterback Luke Thomas goes to the sideline to get his plays every time, and back into the huddle he comes. Knock with Savon Mosby in the middle defensively. Tanner Grassi on one side and Corey Payne the other, the front three for Knock. And again, an eye set with Marcosi and Rabel in the backfield behind Luke Thomas. Thomas back to throw. Pressure comes. Thomas throwing deep downfield. He's got a man on a sprint run down there, and he can't hang on to the ball. Pass intended for Thomas Arbuckle. Nice job by Ivan Stapchuk to stay right with him. Dave.
Stayed right with him and broke it up. I think he might have tipped it there.
And that was one of the other defensive changes, moving Stapchuk from inside and putting him in a corner spot. And primarily because he can run with anybody.
Yeah. He's got the speed to keep up with some of these receivers. That'll bring up third down and 10, Scott. They apparently didn't give him any yardage on that first play.
And the other corner is Matt Goodlin. Two receivers now right side. And Thomas back to throw again. Rolling to his right, being chased by Grassi. Gets past him, now throwing deep downfield. He's got a man down there and overthrows him. And it's incomplete. Brings up fourth down. Good pressure by the Knock defense. Dave, something we've seen all season long.
Yeah, they kept him running. He threw on the run that time, trying to hit Arbuckle downfield. Again, Arbuckle was right step for step with Ivan Stapchuk.
Well, Ivan's done a nice job staying with the speedy receiver.
Yeah. Fourth down and 10.
Punt to come. And the kick is away. Fair catch called for by Schreckengost at the 48-yard line. And Sheriff may have had some room to run there, but you know what? I'm not going to complain about the young man taking the fair catch there. He's got to make that decision, and a good decision by Schreckengost with 10:58 to go here in the first quarter, so less, just over a minute run off. And here comes the Knock offense. Out of the triple option. Harrett's under center, and it's Stapchuk up the middle for a yard or two. Sort of almost knew that that one was coming. Give him the 49-yard line the other side, so a gain of three. Second down, a long seven, almost eight. I think it is eight. We had him at the 49, I had him at the 48, so gain of two. Again, Harrett with Mullen in motion, a handoff to Stapchuk. Stapchuk into the line. Well, no, Harrett kept it. Harrett to the 46.
Indiana's defense moved with the ball well that time, limited to about 2 or 3 yards.
Let's call it a third down and five, huh?
That works.
Chase Mullen, the other back in the backfield, replacing A.J. Karenbauer. As Joey Wojciechowski comes in at wide receiver, and he'll come out to the near sideline. Third down and five for the Knock Knights in Indiana territory at the 46. Harrett puts Setnar in motion near side, handoff Stapchuk left side. Stapchuk breaks a tackle out across the 40, 35, and brought down at the 30-yard line. Stapchuk, great second effort before Chase Cunningham is able to run him down for Indiana inside Or they're going to put him down right at the 31-yard line.
Scott, he bounced off a tackle there and was stumbling a little bit trying to get to the first down marker. Right as he got to the marker, he kind of readjusted himself, got uprighted, caught his balance again, and added some nice yardage.
15-yard pickup for Ivan Stapchuk and a first down for the Knock Knights. Mullen in motion far side, takes the pitch. Mullen looking to turn the corner, now being hounded in the backfield, and he'll lose a couple of yards. Indiana had that one all played out. Knock will lose three back to the 34.
Just too much speed out there defensively for Indiana. They couldn't make the corner.
And we have not seen that play work very often this year for Knock. So second down and 13 for the Knights. Shrek and Goss splits wide to the right side. That's the wide side of the field. Mullen and Setnar with Stapchuk in the backfield, and Setnar in motion. Stapchuk up the middle. Stapchuk across the 30 to the 29, so he gets the lost yardage back, plus one. That'll bring up a third and 8. But I am pretty sure we're in two down territory here to get the first.
I'm sure.
I mean, Ivan's had success going to the right. So let's see if they continue that way. This time wide receiver left side for Herod under center. Herod's back to throw. Looking, firing out into the flat. Ahead, nice pass to Setnar. Takes it on the run for the touchdown. Noah Setnar takes it in at the 25-yard line and takes it to the house. And the Knock Knights strike first on a 29-yard touchdown pass from Jake Herod to Noah Setnar.
Setnar just kind of went down the sidelines a little bit, and there was really loose coverage on him. Once he made the catch, he just turned on the jets and ran away from everybody.
Yeah, I thought somebody from Indiana was going to get him, but Setnar just outran him. And a perfect pass from Jake Herod. He just floated that in there absolutely perfectly. Matt Gore to attempt the extra point. Ball's down. Gore gets the kick up. It's high enough, long enough, and it's good. With 8:02 to go here in the first quarter, it's the Knock Knights 7 and Indiana nothing. Back with a kickoff right after this 30-second timeout.
When it comes to concrete, we rock. Concrete for your home, concrete for industrial use. John W. Thrower Company in Saxonburg is the name to remember. For sand and gravel, use Throwers. They really dig what they do, and they're fully insured. Dry bags of cement and mortar or poured concrete for your foundation, driveway, footers, and more. Call Throwers today and find out why they're the best in the business. Throwers Concrete in Saxonburg. Call 352-9421. A trusted name that is rock solid.
Well, the Knock Knights with a nice drive, 6 plays, 51 yards, and did it in just about 3 minutes. There's Gore's kickoff. Nice high kick by Gore, and Arbuckle inside his 5, takes it at the 3. Out across the 15-20, looks for a seam, has a seam, breaks through, and then James Johnson able to bring him down at the 45. Johnson sort of the last line of defense for the Knock Knights.
He just picked a nice seam through there and where there were no blue jerseys and accelerated through it.
And he stayed to the near sideline instead of going towards the middle of the field, and I think that's why he had that success. So he returns the kick from the 3 out to the Knock 47-yard line, or to the Indiana 47, with 7:54 to go in the first quarter. The little Indians at the line. Luke Thomas, I formation, receivers to either side. Knock with 3 down linemen. Hand off. Nope, back to throw. Out into the flat. Pass is caught out there by Justin Rabel. And Rabel again brought down by the aforementioned Jim Johnson at the 43 of Knock, though. It's about a 10-yard gain and should be close to a first down for Indiana.
And they will move the chains.
And that, Dave, just a little drop pass into the zone, into the right, about 5 yards downfield. And Johnson able to come up and take him down. First and 10, Indiana at the Knock 43. Now Thomas back in a pistol. Thomas looks for the quick toss to the flat. It's caught out there at the 40 for a short gain of 3.
Again, Arbuckle with a reception. He's a familiar name from years past, Scott.
Yep, we've said that before. You got to watch out for Carlos Carter at 6'4", 180. Who had burned us last year. Carter coming out to the near side along with Arbuckle, the two receivers to this side. They overload the left side with a single setback. And he's got the ball, looks to cut it inside. Not much there.
That'd be dropped for no gain on the play.
Marcosi, the ball carrier, and that's Jarrett Bricker with the hit at the 40-yard line for no gain. Going to bring a third down and a better part of seven to go for the Little Indians. And Luke Thomas has had some success through the air and a couple of short passes. And again, lines up in the pistol with Marcosi, the single setback. Rabel is in a slot to the left and two receivers. Third down and seven. Thomas back, looking. Pressure comes, throws to the sideline, and overthrows it out of bounds. But pressure coming from the Knock Knights. Eric Green and Corey Payne were in there big time quick.
Yeah, Luke Thomas took a pretty good hit on that one. He literally was hit as he released the football. And it went a little high and out of bounds.
It appears Indiana will go for it unless they just shift out into a punt formation. But from the Knock 40, the Little Indians look like they're going for it. Third or fourth down and eight. Receivers to either side as Luke Thomas comes under center. Knock again with three down linemen, and Thomas is back. Rolling to his left, looking, throwing deep down the field. He's got a man down there, and it's incomplete. Thrown a little bit too long for Carlos Carter, who had beat his man.
He had a couple steps on him, but it's just a little too long right in the near corner of the end zone.
Harrit and Frazier got there about the same time the ball did, so Indiana will turn it over on downs. And the Knock Knights with 6:04 to go here in the first quarter, leading 7-0, will get the ball at their own 40. A little concerned about that pass. There's a little bit of arm play there. First and 10 Knock. Harrit under center, Setnar in motion. Harrit pitches to Setnar, turns the corner at the 40. Nice little hole at midfield. Setnar down the sideline, 30, 25, 20. Setnar still going. Setnar will take it to the house.
Again, no. Just outran everybody.
Noah Setnar, a 60-yard pitch pass.
Yeah, a little bit of blocking at the first wave there. Just enough to pinch everybody inside, and then he just outran everybody the rest of the way.
Yeah, he turned on the afterburners, and when he hit the 50-yard line, Dave, it's just like the Jets kicked in. So Matt Gore to attempt the extra point. Ball is down. Gore gets under it, puts it up, and puts it through. 5:52 to go here in the first quarter, and it's Knock 14. And Indiana nothing, back with a kickoff right after this 30-second timeout.
With Butler Health System Faster Care in four locations, you get prompt care for minor injuries and illnesses, as well as routine medical services such as sports physicals and flu shots from physicians you know and trust. There's no need to wait. Urgent care with all the support, resources, and experience of the Butler Health System, only faster. BHS Faster Care with locations in Butler, Sarver, Katanning, and Slippery Rock. Visit us at butlerfastercare.org for more information.
Well, the Knock Knights, Dave. Bang, bang. Setnar with a 60-yard pitch off the quarterback option. And perfectly executed by Jake Harrit.
60-yard run, and boy, Scott, he got down around the 10-yard line. I kept waiting for the old rigor mortis to kick in, yeah. But he never slowed down.
There goes Matt Gore to kick it off. And again, he's going to send Arbuckle back. Arbuckle inside the 10 at the 7. And again, lots of room on this near sideline. And finally, one of the Knights gets over. That's
Joey Wojciechowski.
And Scott Frazier, two of the better tacklers on this team. And another nice return by Arbuckle. So Gore's either got to not kick it to this corner, or they got to get somebody else over there. Is there a flag down?
Well, Arbuckle's not doing well. He's struggling over there a little bit. He's down on all fours at the 45-yard line. He was limping over that way. And
there is a holding call against Indiana.
Arbuckle is up, but he is struggling to get to the sideline.
Boy, and that's certainly not someone that Indiana can afford to lose.
So that'll move Move the ball back inside the 20-yard line of the 17 on a hold.
So the little Indians, as you heard Coach say in the pregame, they're doing what Nauk had been doing early in the season. Penalties just killing them. And right there, a great return by Arbuckle, his second of the night, nullified on the hold call. First and 10, Indians there on 17. Thomas under center, motion man to the right. Handoff, right side. And again, very little running room for Ethan Marcosi.
They're going to give him the line of scrimmage. That's it.
Well, I think making the tackle in there was Scotty Frazier coming in from the safety spot. So Nauk with his defense using only two corners and a single safety. And putting eight guys up in the box. Although it does allow Indiana to get a pass off every now and again. So no gain on the play. Now out of the pistol is Thomas. Single sidecar in Marcosi. Here comes Nauk as Thomas is back to pass. Throws that out into the flat. Pass is caught. Running to the near sideline. Rybold, and he's taken down at the 28. Should be an Indiana first down. Rabel taken down by Matty Goodlin. An 11-yard pickup for Indiana. So they're getting the quick passes out into the flat, Dave.
And they're picking up the 10-yarders, just enough to move the sticks. The long pass has eluded them tonight.
Well, I think they've been watching the film, and Nauk was susceptible to a deep pass and tried that early on. But let's see, first and 10, Indiana from the eye. Back again, Thomas out into the flat. Pass is caught out there. That's Carter. Carter breaks one tackle, breaks another tackle, and then goes down just shy of the 40-yard line. Carlos Carter with another first down for Indiana out to the 39. So they're getting it 11 yards at a crack.
We'll see if not what Nauk can do to make some adjustments, cover this short passing game.
Only got two good ones, and Carlos Carter now. Nathan Hilliard joins him out to the left with Arbuckle on the sideline. Thomas again, backs in the eye. And he's back to throw. Thomas rolling right now, dumps it out into the flat to Rybel, and he's able to bat the ball in the air and then catch it on as he dives forward to the 42. Really nice catch.
Yeah, they're going to give him 3 yards on the play.
Really great effort. Good concentration there by Justin Rybel. Second down and 7 for Indiana. 3:43 to go here in the first. No, they're going to roll it incomplete.
Oh, now they just changed. Yeah, they moved it back.
So it's incomplete.
He said he didn't control it to the ground, I guess.
It looked like he had it there. 3:43 to go here in the first quarter, and the Nauk Knights leading 14-0 on two Noah Setnar touchdowns. One 29-yard pass reception, the other a 60-yard run. Indiana sends two receivers right side of the field, ball about the center of the field. Nauk shows blitz. Back again goes Thomas. Thomas hit as he throws downfield. He's got Carter, and Carter can't make the catch, but there's a flag down, and that's probably a hold against Nauk, a defensive holding penalty.
Yeah,
trying to slow Carter down.
Yeah, it's out just in the Nauk territory at the 47.5.
And that's exactly what it is, a hold on the Knights, trying to hang on to Carter, and the penalty will move the ball out to the 49. And another first down for Indiana, keeping this drive alive. And Carlos Carter is so fast. And the Knights just sort of reaching out with the, as Tunch Ilkin would say, the habeas gravis. I set again, first down. Thomas hands it off to Marcosi, and Marcosi taken down by Jake Harrett for no gain at the 49. Indiana cannot run the ball against Nauk, at least yet.
Marcosi got up and just had a little stare down with Harrett there after being tackled by him.
Yeah, I think their biggest gain has been 3 yards on the ground. Most of the time they're getting nowhere against this stingy Nauk defense against the run. Thomas, again, pressure from the outside. He has to dump it off, gets it to Rabel. Rabel then able to get it. Flags come in from the secondary. Boy, Thomas took a hit just as he released the ball.
Yeah.
And now Justin Raybould slow to get up. And he's got to hobble off the field. So this one is going to be a defensive or offensive pass interference. And that'll move it back to the 40 of Indiana. Making it second down and 19. Or no, second and 20. They move it to the 39. And boy, Knock has been putting the hits on. They've knocked out both Thomas Arbuckle and now Justin Rabel. But Arbuckle is back in and limping to the right side. Second down and 24, Indiana. Luke Thomas from his own 39 is back. Looking, throwing to the sideline. There's Carter again. Pulls it in at the 40. And there is Scott Frazier to pull him down at midfield, but not before he gets 11 yards. And again, he's just dropping 5 yards out, and there's nobody there covering. It's an easy pass. And then you just let Carter run with it.
Fortunately, Frazier was right there to make the pass or make the tackle. It's third down and 9.
From midfield. Carter and Arbuckle come to the near side, and there's a sort of a mismatch here. Goodland at 5'8", and Carter at 6'4", and I think 5'8", they're giving Goodland a chance. And they come to the sideline again, going for Arbuckle, and it's overthrown. Knock is just not giving Luke Thomas any time to throw the football. It's fourth down and 9.
And this time the Indians will punt. Or will appear to punt.
Well, Knock seems to be blitzing on every down, Dave.
Probably trying to get enough pressure to discourage that pass because they haven't been able to run on them at all. If they can force some pressure on Thomas.
Low snap, kick is away. Schreckengost fields it at the 16, starts upfield at the 20, and gets to be about the 23-yard line. Where the Knock offense takes to the field with a minute 32 to go here in the first quarter, leading 14-0 over the Little Indians of Indiana.
Knock's third possession of the game. They've scored on the first two.
29-yard touchdown pass from Jake Carrot to Noah Setnar. And then on the first play following the Indiana punt, a 60-yard pitch pass to Noah Setnar. And it's 14-0 Knock. Matt Gore with both extra points, obviously. So deepest Knock has started in their own end for a drive tonight. Shrek and Gostel split wide to the right. Indiana. Everybody else sort of in the box. In motion. Handoff up the middle to Stapchuk and Ivan. Couple of hard yards to the 25. Indiana big in the middle, Dave, and it's going to be very difficult to get any kind of big yardage unless you can open a hole quick.
You got to open a hole quickly and get to that second level. And Stapchuk is fast enough to do some damage if he can get through the first level.
So put the ball between the 25 and 26. Schreckengost and Martin now both on the field for Knock. As the Knights go with a single, with Herod under center and a single setback. Herod's going to keep it himself into the line of scrimmage, and he gets a bear hug from Leon McDaniel after picking up a yard to the 26. That hole closed quickly, and McDaniel at 6'3", 275, anchoring the middle of that defensive line for Indiana. Should be the final play of the quarter coming up here. Wojciechowski with the play. Third down and call it 6 for Knock. Herod under center, 2 receivers right side. Herod will take the snap back to throw. Rolls right, looking to throw. Herod looks, now throws. Setnar comes back and makes the catch at the 45-yard line for a Knock first down. And that should be the end of the quarter. Although that play was over before the horn sounded, but nonetheless, that's the end of the first quarter. The Knock Knights leading 14-0 over Indiana. We'll be back with the second quarter from Saxonburg right after this timeout.
The law offices of Dylan McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham take pride in the services they provide for the clients they serve. In litigation, personal injury, corporate and business law, real estate, zoning and land use, as well as labor and employment law. The law offices of Dylan McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham can meet all your legal needs. Conveniently located in Butler and Cranberry, contact them at 724-283-2200. That's 283-2200.
And back at Saxonburg, along with Dave Bacon, I'm Scott Briggs. Good to have you with us here at Nauk High School Stadium, where the Nauk Knights lead the Little Indians of Indiana 14-0 going to the second quarter. Noah Setnar having a pretty good game. Of course, A.J. Karenbauer not available tonight, so Setnar getting a little bit more work and sort of proving to coaches that, you know what, I can do this.
He's got to have some pretty good, pretty impressive stats by now, Scott.
First and 10 Nauk at their own 45-yard line. Herod on the option, gets it to the left side. Here's Mullen trying to turn the corner, and Chase can't get there, and he'll go down at the 44-yard line for a loss of one. Well, anything coming to the left side has been a struggle for Nauk on the pitch. And Mullen, who's starting for Karenbauer tonight, loses a yard, second down and 11. But Noah Setnar with a couple of pass completions, and that last one for the first down had Herrett running to his right and on the run. You didn't know that Jake was going to pass or throw. Second and long, Herrett out of the pistol. He rolls right looking to toss. Herrett, nope, he's going to try to keep it himself, and he'll be dropped at the 42. He'll lose two more. I don't think that was ever designed as a pass play.
Something wasn't quite right about that whole execution there.
Third down, 13 for the Nauk Knights with the ball just shy of the 42-yard line as Schreck and Gostin Green come in from the sideline. Schreck and Gostin split out wide to the right. Eric Green, the tight end, on the left. And an official's timeout, equipment problem for the Indians. They fix that up. And here we go. Third and long. Out of the triple option set, Indiana with three down linemen in motion. Setnar to the far side. Flag flies, and they throw across the middle to Schreckengost. He breaks a tackle, but this one's coming back. Schreckengost will break a tackle and get down close to the goal line, but it's coming back.
Somebody else, somebody other than the motion back was moving for Nauk, I think.
Yeah, just a split second early, somebody moved before the Knights snapped the ball, and it'll come back. It'll be third down and 18. Instead of first and goal at the two. An illegal shift, and clearly the officials got that one right. So once again, Nauk with a big play, Dave, and it's called back on a penalty. We've seen that all too much this year.
Yeah. Now, it's only the second penalty of the game. They got 15 yards in penalties, but still at an inopportune time.
Move this back to the 37-yard line. Nauk has to get to the Indiana 45 from their own 37.
Basically, it was a 5-yard penalty, but basically it's a 65-yard penalty or 58-yard penalty.
Let's see if Nauk doesn't go right back to that same place. Schreckengost was open and beat his man. Schreckengost will come to the near sideline. I'd go right back to it. Herrett. Now looks to the right side, across the middle, and that was behind his intended receiver. Going to Nick Martin, the closest guy to it was Daniel Millen for Indiana. That's fourth down, and the Knights will have to kick it away.
Well, Herod didn't feel the pressure coming from the back, and just as he released that football, he got nailed pretty good.
So Chase Mullen will kick it away, and Arbuckle stands back at his 30 for Indiana. Knocked first punt of the night. Mullen waits for the snap. It floats in there. Chase with time gets it a line drive shot away. Bounce. Savon Mosby is down there as fast as the ball got there, and he watches it roll inside the 25 to the 23. Of course, Savon is the long snapper, and you're not allowed to block him.
He's still, for a big man, he's still pretty quick. 5'11", 225 pounds.
And that's right. You can run him as a fullback, and he does play that fullback position. And wouldn't be surprised if we see him at some point tonight. get a chance to run the ball. So now Indiana will start their drive at their own 23-yard line, trailing Knock 14-0 here with 9:46 to go in the first half. Little Indians have only been able to move the ball through the air. Running it is virtually impossible, so they'll come out in a shotgun with Luke Thomas flanked on either side by his two running backs. Thomas back to throw. Pressure throwing deep downfield. He's going for Carter on the long ball. Carter's got it and then can't hang on to it. Matt Goodlin with the coverage, but Carlos Carter had it. And, Dave, he must have bobbled it for 10 yards.
Oh, just juggled that along there. And then when he went to the ground, could not control.
But give Matt Goodlin credit. He stayed with him and probably helped cause that ball not to be caught. But you can see what Indiana wants to do. They watch the film. They know that Knox is susceptible deep. And they're just going at him. This time Thomas will come up under center and they go back into an eye. Not sure who the up back is replacing Rybel, but back to throw Thomas across the middle. Carter with a catch and a first down out to the 34-yard line. Another gain of 11 for Indiana. I guess that is Rybel back there. No, it's not. It's Alex Kowalczyk in the backfield, replacing Rybel, who got banged up in last series for Indiana. From the Little Indians now, three receivers for Thomas, first down and 10. Carter in motion from the far side to the near, and Thomas is rolling that way looking to throw. Out into the flat it comes to Carter, and Carter ridden out of bounds by Jim Johnson. About the 37, a gain of maybe three. Indiana, basically, Dave, apparently has abandoned the running game.
Yeah, they got basically nothing running. Their whole offense has been passing. All of their yards have been passing. And
gain of four there. Again, three receivers, two to the far side of the field, single receiver near side. And again, Thomas back into the flat, over through the hands of Arbuckle. It's incomplete. It'll bring up third down. Just a quick down and out because Thomas does not have time to throw. Give the Knock defense a lot of credit. They're getting in his face and forcing him into those quick throws, but they're completing them.
That one was a little hot over here to Arbuckle.
Carter and Hilliard. Carter now comes back to the near side. He and Arbuckle on this short side of the field. Third down and 7. Thomas back. Thomas pressure. Gets rid of the ball. Carter catches it across the middle. He's heading down the field with Harrit and then coming in from the blind side to make the tackles. Ivan Stapchuk.
He was stiff-arming Harrit, and he was winning that. Stapchuk came in from the backside.
Never saw
made
Ivan.
The tackle.
But a big gainer for Carter across the middle. Takes it down inside the Knock 15 to the 13-yard line. Where it'll be first and 10 Indiana. And again, Luke Thomas crushed just as he got rid of the ball. But Carlos Carter is just a man among boys out there. Here's the handoff. And a touchdown on a running play. Ethan Marcosi just whittled his way through the North defense and takes it in for the 13-yard touchdown for Indiana. That was too easy.
Yeah. I don't think anybody touched him.
So with 8:28 to go here in the first half, Indiana about to cut the lead in half. As Noah Finnegan comes on to attempt the extra point out of the hold of Carlos Carter. Unusual to see a wide receiver like Carter holding the ball. Finnegan is under it and puts it up and puts it through. 8:28 to go here in the first half, 14-7. Knock in the lead, back with second with the kickoff coming up right after this timeout.
Just when you thought you had your best deal,
it's Troy, the deal-making man.
The deal-making man assures you have your absolute best deal on every new and used Troy Allen Chevrolet Buick and GMC. The deal-making mugs are here. Get yours now and receive an additional $200 off your next deal. At Troy Allen, we're good to the last deal.
The deal-making man saved us thousands.
Meet the real deal-making man today at Troy Allen Chevrolet Buick and GMC in Slippery Rock.
Well, the Little Indians, with a quick 77-yard drive, cut the lead of the Nauk Knights in half. It's 14-7 Nauk.
Biggest play there was Luke Thomas to Carlos Carter pass that almost made it to the end zone.
And that was just a quick shot over the middle. All right, the kickoff to come. Goodlin and Johnston back deep to receive for the Nauk Knights. Matty Goodlin will come up and field it at the 13. Goodlin across the 20, 25, 30 to the outside. And Goodlin taken down by the kicker out at the 37-yard line. So a good return by Matt Goodlin. Nauk with good field position. 8:21 to go here in the first half, leading 14-7. And Savon Mosby coming out in that offensive set. See what happens in this drive for the Nauk Knights. Stalled out last time.
That was their first punt of the evening.
The Nauk now will come out in an I formation. Mosby with Stapchuk at the tail. Two receivers for the Nauk Knights. And it's Stapchuk straight up the middle. Ivan to the 40, maybe the 41. Or a gain of four. Following Savon Mosby. And at 5'11", 225, he's a fire plug. Second down, call it six to go for Nauk.
Schreckengost and Wojciechowski in for the Knights.
Nick Martin as well, so we got the two wide, so they stay with the I formation. The first time we've really seen him in an I this year. Indiana now four down linemen, three backers looking at the eye. Herrett, again, Stapchuk into the middle. Stapchuk breaks a tackle, gets across the 45 to the 46. Just shy of the first down. It'll be a third down and one. Well, third down and two, let's call it. We got to get to the 47-yard line. And here come the Knights out. Receivers split to either side again. I formation. Tight end right side. Ball right in the center of the field. Indiana now overloads the front line. They give it to Stapchuk. Ivan's ahead for the first down as he crosses over the 47-yard line. Closes in on the 48. Being a two-first down Nauk as they go down to power football, Dave.
Yeah, that's only their third first down, but they haven't needed it. They're leading 14-7 because they've had some long scoring plays. They haven't had to grind it down the field so far.
First and 10 Nauk from their own 48-yard line. Wojciechowski to the near side. Martin to the far side again. I formation, tight end left this time. And this time they pitch it to Stapchuk. Stapchuk looks to turn the corner up across midfield. Got one man to beat. Takes him inside Indiana territory and bowls him over down to the 36-yard line.
We came real close, Scott. I thought the laundry was coming out
against
the Knights there. Real close to a block in the back, but they must have thought he got enough shoulder.
Yeah, it was very. I'll give the officials credit. They are letting them play tonight. I've seen ones on either side they probably could have called. First and 10 Nauk in Indiana territory at the 36-yard line. Again in the I formation, Stapchuk straight up the middle. And Ivan bowls through to the 32-yard line.
He just kind of rolled over the pile there and came off the other side.
And they're just taking Mosby into that gap. And Savon's getting low, and he's bowling people. I'm looking for a little play action maybe out of it at some point. Second down and call it seven for Nauk. 5:40 to go here in the first half, 14-7 Knights. Schreckengost to the near. Well, he and Wojciechowski both go to the far side of the field, wide side. High formation for Herrett. Herrett rolling right, looking to throw. Herrett looks, throws downfield, and a flag comes down. Pass intended for Schreckengost, and he was waiting for it, and one of the Indians came up and hit him well before the ball got there. So it's a 15-yard pass interference call against Indiana. I mean, you could see Stapchuk or you could see Schreckengost move before the ball even got there.
And he still almost caught it.
Still almost caught it. So the 15-yard penalty will move the ball down inside the 20-yard line to about the 18 and give Nauk a first down. That was a nicely designed play. Herod had all kinds of time to throw. Had somebody open underneath as well, but decided to go to the deep back in Schreckengost. Schreck almost made it happen. Two receivers left side now for Herod. And hand off to Stapchuk. Again into the line, and he's able to power his way to the only going to give him a yard there, huh, Dave?
Yeah, it looked like he might have made the 15, but they're going to give him the 17.
It's only a gain of one. Second down and nine for Nauk deep in Indiana territory at the 17-yard line. Wojciechowski and Martin to the left side. Eye set behind Herod, who's under center. Herod will take the ball and keep it himself. Now pitches it back, ball on the ground, and Stapchuk has to fall down and get it. Herod was being harassed, and Alex Donahue almost had him down, and Herod had to pitch the ball back and pitched it back to Stapchuk, and it wasn't anywhere close to where it should be. And a loss of four.
Third down and 13.
And I believe we're out of field goal range. So it'd be a 40-yarder.
Close to it, yeah.
I think we'll help see where we go here on third down and 13. Herod again backs in the eye, and Herod's back to throw. Here comes pressure. Herod gets away from it. Now he's in trouble, and Herod is going to go down. Still on his feet somehow. Goes down for a big loss. Back to the 44-yard line. That is a loss of that's 25-yard loss.
Yeah. I was surprised he got away from that first tackle, but there was a lot of Indians back there. Couldn't get away from the second one.
Well, Indiana just came strong, and that takes Nauk out of any chance of going for it on fourth down or getting close enough to even try a field goal. So the punt team has come on, and Mullen will kick from his 42-yard line.
Fourth down and 35.
High snap, but handled by Mullen. Gets it a straight ahead, takes a bounce. There's Mosby. He's going to watch it roll inside the 10, inside the 5. That ball's going dead at the 3-yard line. So Nauk gets a big roll and gets way out of trouble and pins the little Indians deep with 2:58 to go here in the first half. And Nauk leading 14-0. The Indians start from their own 3.
14-7.
What did I say?
Nothing. Wishful
14-7. So from the 3-yard line, the Nauk defense here with an opportunity.
Nauk really looked like they were going to go up 21-7 here, but just couldn't make it happen with the ball inside the Indiana 20.
Little Indians defensive line just overpowering the Nauk offense that time. So let's see what Luke Thomas does here from his own 3-yard line. He's got in the end zone looking for the quick toss to the corner, pass to the outside to Arbuckle, and he steps out of bounds at the 5. So he gets a little bit of room. Maybe 2 to the 5, second down and 8 for Indiana.
Both teams with all their timeouts.
Indiana, David, just that quick pass to the outside is Thomas doesn't miss that one very often. Second down and 8 for Indiana from their 5-yard line. Arbuckle and Hilliard split to the right, Carter to the left. Offset eye with Thomas, and he's back to throw again. Thomas, out, pass is picked into the end zone for the INT is Ivan Stapchuk. Stapchuk with a pick six.
Just a little short on that pass. Stapchuk undercut it, and he was off to the races.
That's a 10-yard INT return for Ivan Stapchuk. And I didn't see a white jersey anywhere close to that ball.
No, they were further downfield here. He just threw that a little short.
Stapchuk had to jump for it, but was able to pull it down and then race to the corner of the end zone, and Nauk gets the points the hard way. Here's Matt Gore with the extra point attempt. It's down, and Matt looking pretty sharp here tonight. He picks up another one. It's 21-7. The Knock Knights with their first defensive touchdown of the season. Ivan Stapchuk, 10-yard interception return for the score. 21-7 Knock. We'll be back to Saxonburg with a kickoff after this 30-second timeout.
Kelly's Restaurant at 130 West Main Street in beautiful downtown Saxonburg is proud to sponsor Knock High Football on WISR. If you're looking for a different place for breakfast or lunch, try Kelly's Monday through Saturday, 5:30 to 2 and 7 to 2 on Sundays. Check out our famous number one breakfast special with two eggs, bacon, sausage, or ham, home fries, and toast for only $5.50. For variety, our lunch specials change monthly. Come to Kelly's for great American food at great prices in downtown Saxonburg. Phone 724-352-4990.
Well, Dave, that's kind of like the way you like to see it.
Yeah, they were living by the pass, were the Indians, and the Knock Knights kind of made them pay on one that was a little bit errant. Ivan Stapchuk with a 10-yard pick six.
Well, they say when you throw the ball, there's three things that can happen to them, and two of them are bad. So Knock now will tee it up and kick it off with 2:47 to go in the first half. Let's see if Gore doesn't try to kick this one away from Arbuckle again. This one's going to go into the end zone, and the Little Indians will start out at their 20. It's a 20, right, or is it the 25 in high school?
We haven't seen many go into the end zone this year, so.
That's true. I'm thinking high school's still the 20.
I think you're right. High school's still the 20. Pros are the 25.
So 2:47 to go in the first half, and Indiana now finds themselves down two touchdowns again. Starting at their own 20-yard line. Again, as Dave mentioned, they have all three of their timeouts remaining.
Indiana offensively has been able to live on the short pass. Running game pretty much non-existent, save for the touchdown run of 13 yards.
So Marcosi and Kowalczyk, the backfield for Thomas, and he's looking to pass again. Out into the flat, complete to Arbuckle. Arbuckle run out of bounds by Frazier on the far side, stops the clock with 2:41 to go. They'll pick up 8 yards or 9 yards out to the 19 or 29. Again, Dave, they're getting those 9-11-yard pass plays.
Just not able to sustain them.
Well, Knock is blitzing just about every time, so there's always going to be somebody that's going to be open a bit. They did not do that on the interception. And receivers to either side for Thomas. Knock shows blitz again. Here comes Mullen. Thomas rolling right, looking to throw. Going downfield, and he just overthrew it. I think he had Arbuckle curling, wanted Arbuckle going to the goal line, and instead Arbuckle curled back.
Yeah.
And that was a 15-yard miss. And that'll bring up third down and one from the 29.
Thomas has a strong arm. It just, the accuracy is a little... You know, on the long passes tonight, for the most part, he has struggled to hook up with his receivers. The short passes, they've been picking the Knights apart a little bit.
And credit Goodland and Stapchuk. They moved Jake Harrod inside as a linebacker, so their shutdown corner isn't playing corner tonight. But Stapchuk and Goodland have done a decent job. There's Thomas again. Quick toss going to Arbuckle across the middle. He wasn't looking. And it brings up fourth down and one. You almost have to punt it here with 2.5 minutes to go. You're going to give, you don't want to give Knock back the ball.
Not down there, you don't.
I think you might want to take a chance at a running play there, but nope, they're going to punt it away, and Daniel Millen on to kick it. Schreckengost and Wojciechowski back, or Mullen back. Kick. And again, Schreckengost with a fair catch at the 46. Good call by Jared Schreckengost. And Knock, pretty good field position here, Dave. 2:25 and three timeouts.
Yep, they've got a lot of time, and we'll see what they can do with it here. The Knights have only punted once tonight, if I'm not correct.
You're right.
If I'm correct. Not
no, maybe twice. Over. Maybe twice.
Twice. Not turned the ball over at all, and two penalties for 15 yards in the first half.
I'll see if the offense comes out, and they'll go back to the triple option out of the eye, and had some success with this. Setnar with a 60-yard run out of it. Here's the handoff. Stapchuk, right side, breaks the tackle at midfield. 45-40. Stapchuk down the far side. He's going to race away from everybody. And Ivan Stapchuk takes this one 54 yards for a touchdown.
That didn't take long.
Ivan Stapchuk. This time, Dave, the same play they've been running all night, just off tackle. And he found a seam, and then it was just a horse race. And Ivan Stapchuk, with 2:16 to go here in the first half, gets his second consecutive touchdown, this on a 54-yard run.
Scott, that's the second time tonight that they've made a long touchdown run on first down.
On the first play of the series.
First play of the series.
Gore with the extra point attempt is down and through. 2:16 to go here in the first half, and Knock now up 28-7 over the Indians, where Indiana seemed, Dave, their one drive, they got their touchdown and looked like they had turned the momentum. Defensively, they had shut down Knock, then went bang-bang right down the field, but then the Knock Knights things going in the right direction.
Yeah, that pick six, I think, kind of took a little of the wind out of their sails here in the first half. After Knock punted to them on fourth down and 35, I think they were feeling pretty good, but then they turned around and threw the pick six, and that just seems to have deflated them a little bit.
So Stapchuk, with his second touchdown in less than a minute, 54-yard run.
That just shows you the big man can move, too.
Yeah.
He ran away from a safety.
And that's why he's playing so well at corner tonight. Kickoff to come from Gore. This one's going to be on the ground, fielded by one of the upbacks. Struggles with it, gets it at the third, 25-20, and comes down across field. That is Ethan Marcosi, the tailback. And Marcosi, who plays the upback on kickoffs, returns it out to the 39-yard line.
Caught it on the fly, and then it kind of bounced off of his chest and bobbled it. He had to pick it up off the ground. But still a good return.
Stayed with it, kept his head in the game, and able to get a return out to the 39. Well, the Little Indians still have 2 minutes and 8 seconds to go here in the first half. And again, all three of their timeouts. Receivers split to either side for Luke Thomas. Offset eye to the right, the handoff to Marcosi into the line, and not much there. Savon Mosby was on the ground, and that was like a brick wall. And he hit Mosby, and then somebody else helped out. Gain of maybe 2 to the 41-yard line, second down and 8.
Clock turns under a minute 50 to go in the first half.
The Arbuckle, again, hobbling to the sideline. Justin Rabel has not been in the game since midway through the first quarter for Indiana. They're starting fullback. Receivers split to either side. And back to throw again, Thomas. Thomas, here comes pressure. He'll dump it out into the flat. This is complete out there to Kowalczyk, and Kowalczyk will get a first down close to midfield. And again, Luke Thomas hangs on till the very last second before dumping the ball off.
He's been taking quite a beating here in the first half.
But boy, Dave, showing a lot of poise.
Yeah.
Well, he's just a junior quarterback, and he's shown a lot of poise in this game. Has been under extreme pressure all night. From midfield, first and 10. Thomas back to throw, flags fly, so we have an illegal procedure against Indiana. So they'll move it back to the 45-yard line on the penalty. Makes it first and 15, and Arbuckle is back on the field. Well, he's just hobbling everywhere he goes. See,
he's
Ethan,
quite a warrior.
Heath Ertis now in the defensive secondary. As Knock goes with an extra safety, Thomas to the sideline, and that one is almost picked off. Stapchuk, was that Stapchuk again or Goodland? Or that may have been Harrit. Somebody had a real good crack at that one and dove out there and just missed it off their fingertips.
I think it was
Harrit.
He's on the far end. I can't get a number because there's three guys in front of him, but I think that was Harrit.
So to bring up second down and 15. Clock stopped with 59 seconds to go in the half. And Thomas again out of the pistol. Puts Kowalczyk in a slot to the right. Marcosi the single setback. Back to throw Thomas being chased. Thomas is going to take off and run with it. And then he runs into Harrit, and Harrit takes him down out of bounds. No flag as he crosses midfield to the 48-yard line. Stops the clock with 52 seconds, and the Little Indians will have third down and 8. That was also pretty close.
They might not have been as close to that sideline as
he thought. Well, maybe, and they both may have been falling anyway.
He did manage to get out of bounds to stop the clock.
So Knock will come up and defend close on both Carter and Arbuckle on the near side. Knock has gone into a more of a pass defense with only six guys in the box. And back to throw is Thomas. Thomas out into the flat. Arbuckle catches it and goes right down. And he's hurting, Dave. He caught that ball and made a move, and you could almost see him, the pain.
He's hurting. Timeout Indiana.
And he's calling somebody on the field for him. The game to the 47 of only one, and he caught that ball and went right down without help.
Yeah, he did not want he didn't want to take on anybody.
And I don't know if it was as much that as he just couldn't go. So the timeout taken by Indiana, and they're looking at fourth down and 7 here with 4:54 to go here in the first half.
45.4 seconds.
What did I say?
4:54. It's hard to tell. It is.
You're right. It is 45.4. Just numbers. We're under a minute. Let's put it that way. 28-7, the Knock Knights lead. Two touchdowns for Noah Setnar. Two touchdowns for Ivan Stapchuk. One of those, a 10-yard interception return.
One of them a 60-yard run. 64?
54, and Setnar had the 60-yard
run. Okay.
So fourth down and six, fourth and 7, and they will go for it from the Knock 47. Pass over the middle, Carter with a catch, breaks a tackle, breaks another tackle, and goes down to the Knock 20-yard line. Just way too easy. And Indiana burns their second timeout, stopping the clock with 37 seconds to go. Ball at the 18. Well, this would be big for Indiana if they can pick up a score here. And now Carlos Carter is doubled over as he heads to the sideline. Well, he just took that pass and essentially straight over the middle like a tight end pass. And Knock Knights, three of them right there, and he's still able to catch the ball and run. But he's going to go to the sideline, and he's sort of doubled over there.
He's having some success, but both he and Luke Thomas have been paying for it tonight. Thomas has taken quite a beating in that backfield.
So first and 10 Indiana at the Knock 18-yard line with 37 seconds and one timeout remaining. See what Luke Thomas can pull off here without a couple of his best players. Oh, back out there is Arbuckle. Boy, what a tough kid. Thomas looks over the Knock defense, steps under center with an eye formation. He's back. Pressure comes from the outside. He hit as he throws, and the pass caught at the 2. Arbuckle makes the catch, they say, at the 2. Sure looked like a trap from here.
Yeah.
Or maybe the 3-yard line. Gain of 15. It'll be first and goal, Indiana, with 31 seconds to go.
It looks like they burned their final timeout.
Wow, what a catch by Arbuckle.
Yeah.
Official right there says he caught it. And so it'll be first and goal in Indiana with a chance to cut the lead in half. Now Knock will get the ball to start the second half. But boy, Dave, the Knights just giving up way too much through the air.
Yeah, you don't want to don't want to give this Indiana team too much momentum. Things can change in a hurry.
Again, their only success has come through the air, as has in this drive. They have really struggled to run the football. In fact, haven't run the football, I don't think, in this quarter but once, and that was for the touchdown. See if they don't go to that same play again here. Look for the tailback, Ethan Marcosi, on first and goal from the 2. But again, they have 31 seconds, so they can run two plays easily without stopping the clock or having to stop the clock. And under center is Thomas, and Thomas looking to throw, going to the corner of the end zone. And the pass is
out of bounds.
Incomplete with 25 seconds to go. And they'll probably, you know, you can throw two passes and then run once. If that doesn't go, run again, and that should be the end of the quarter. Field goal does you no good. And Luke Thomas slowly back to the huddle from the sideline. Runs over to the sideline to get the play every time.
Safe to say he gets his steps in on game night.
Yep, Carter now back in the game. He and Arbuckle split to the short side of the field. Thomas under center, takes the snap, looks, tosses into the end zone. Carter makes the catch right in front of the defender. Not much you can do about that, Dave.
Now, he tried to go over the shoulder for the ball and bat it, but Carter grasped it in his hands and held on for the touchdown.
So Carter, Carlos Carter with the 3-yard reception with 22 seconds to go here in the half. And the Little Indians get their second score of the game to cut the Knock lead in half. If the extra point by Noah Finnegan goes. Ball is down. Finnegan's got it high enough, long enough, and we are at 28-14. Indiana. Again, that's a pretty impressive drive there of 61 yards in 10 plays.
22 seconds left in the half.
And most of that doing it through the air. Carlos Carter with the big catch down the middle. From there, 47 to the Knock, 18, the big play in the drive. So Knock will have 22 seconds and three timeouts. And they lead 28 to 14. This could be a high-scoring affair.
It could.
Knock needs to find some... They just have not been able to get to Luke Thomas. They've been as close as you possibly can get. In fact, on the pass to Arbuckle at the 2-yard line, I think he was hit as he was throwing it and still got it there.
That's happened a number of times tonight too, Scott.
He just doesn't have, I mean, he's getting rid of the ball exactly at the very last second. Here's the kickoff to come. This one's on the ground. Goodland will field it at the 13. Goodland looks for a seam. And Maddie up to the 35-yard line with 15 seconds to go. So what do you do here if you're the Knock Knights? Well, you know what? You've scored a touchdown on the first play from scrimmage twice tonight. Give it to Ivan and see what he can do, huh?
Yeah. Give it to Ivan, give it to Noah.
Both with long touchdown runs on the first play for our series. Knock starting at their 35. Go four receivers. Stapchuk the single setback. Again, Knock with three timeouts. Back to throw is Herrett. Herrett to Schreckengost, and Schreckengost will get to midfield with 8 seconds. Clock will stop to... first down and a timeout taken. You essentially got one more play. Maybe two.
If you're quick.
If you're really, really quick. You got to get the ball down the field in a hurry. And maybe you try to get Stapchuk in the open and let him run, or Setnar where they can use their speed. 28-14, knocking the lead here with 7 seconds left to go in the first half, and the Knights with the ball at midfield. Winner of this game tonight keeps their playoff hopes alive. The loser, pretty much done. No, they are done. A Knock will come out again. This time they'll have 5 receivers. I got too many guys on the field. No, I guess not.
I think he just stepped off. Schreckengost just stepped off.
And Herrett back. Herrett rolling to his right. Now Herrett throwing. Caught by Nick Martin as time expires. I thought Herrett may have been over the line of scrimmage when he threw it.
He was close.
Had a reception, but not far enough, and that's the end of the half. I think maybe Knox still has a play here.
They claim he signaled the timeout.
The officials have not indicated halftime.
He got a timeout in without with time on the clock.
So it is not. It is the end of the half. Well, it is now. They decide it's the end of the half.
Took a long time to decide.
Yeah, I mean, it's with headphones on, it's not real easy to hear the horn and see what's going on when the coach, but there could have been a little bit of time left there. But nonetheless, that's the end of the first half. The Knock Knights lead the Little Indians of Indiana 28-14. Back to recap first half action here from Saxonburg right after this timeout.
What is your teenager doing this weekend? I'm District Attorney Rich Golding with a message about drug and alcohol abuse. Each year, students are exposed to new people and experiences. Opportunities present for them to be influenced to experiment with drugs or alcohol. Communication and knowledge about the effects of drugs and alcohol have many misconceptions in the minds of teens. Families think it can't happen to them, but it can. Talk and ask questions. What teens don't know can hurt them for a very long time. For more information, call 724-284-5114.
Put your ABET accredited engineering degree to work in an exciting new career as an Air Force officer. We're looking for applicants interested in one of 18 possible technical career fields, such as electrical, mechanical, or computer systems engineering. If you'd like to gain world-class leadership and job experience, consider the Air Force. For more information, call Master Sergeant Talia Walters at 814-762-9330 or visit airforce.com. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Well, welcome back here to Knock High School, where the Knock Knights lead the Little Indians of Indiana 28-14 in a game that was all Knock early. Indiana's shown a couple of flashes, but in between, the Knock Knights show a couple more. Tonight, this one got started. Indiana three and out. The Knock Knights would take six plays. Noah Setnar takes a 29-yard screen pass from Jake Harrett for the touchdown. 7-0 Knock with 8:02 to go in the first quarter. Indiana then would turn the ball over on downs to Knock at the Knock 40-yard line. And on the first place from scrimmage, a little pitch play to Setnar around the corner, and he scampers 60 yards down the sideline for the score. And with 5:52 to go in the first, it's 14-0 in favor of the Knock Knights. After a couple of exchanges of punts, Indiana got the ball starting at their own 23, and they drove it down the field in six plays. As Ethan Marcosi took it in from 13 yards out, cut the lead in half for the Knights, made it 14-7. Knock then with a decent drive of their own, kind of stalled out, and after Jake Harrett got sacked for like 30 yards, and Knock was forced to punt from their own 43-yard line. Indiana started at their own 3. They had a quick pass to the 5, and then on the second pass, Ivan Stapchuk picked it off at the 10-yard line and returned it easily into the corner of the end zone for the pick six, and Knock led 21-7. Again, Indiana, quick three and out as they threw the ball three times to no avail. And then it's Stapchuk with a 54-yard touchdown run on the first play from scrimmage with 2:16 to go. So in just about 30 seconds, Ivan Stapchuk had two touchdowns, and Indiana had the ball and had to punt it away. 28-7 Knock. Indiana then gets the ball in their own 39. They're able to march it down the field, and with 22 seconds to go, Carlos Carter takes a 2-yard pass from Luke Thomas for the score to cut the lead in half. And at the half, 28-14, and Dave, the Knock defense has done their job against the run, just trying to stop that short pass.
Yeah, Indiana's been very successful with the short pass. They've tried the long pass a couple times, and for the most part, it's just not accurate enough. Knock, on the long passes, has been defending well. They've been keeping up the receiver with the receivers. It's just these short underneath passes, the quick passes, that they haven't been able to keep up with.
Yeah, and give credit to Ivan Stapchuk and Matt Goodland playing the corners tonight, and they're just playing man defense, man-to-man, on some pretty good receivers in Thomas Arbuckle and Carlos Carter. And they've been running pretty well with them. You wonder, well, why isn't Jake Harrett out there? He's the shutdown corner. Well, they moved him into linebacker this week because of Indiana's running game, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of a shift in the Nauk defense in the second half, Dave, to see if they don't try to bring some linebackers off the side and use maybe Harrit, you know, on Carlos Carter across the middle or something, because they're just getting those real quick out passes, and sometimes there's not a lot you can do.
Yeah, true. And Luke Thomas has been he's been getting these passes away, but he has been paying for them because he's been hit almost every time. He just waits till the last second before he gets rid of that football, and by then he's getting bared down on by a Nauk Knight.
And sometimes I think he has been on his way down when he's gotten rid of the ball
times
and completed some passes. So give a lot of credit to Indiana's Luke Thomas for hanging in there. The Nauk Knights offense, on the other hand, well, it's been big play night and then one long drive. But really, the big plays, Setnar with two touchdowns, Stapchuk with two touchdowns, and the Nauk Knights lead 28-14. All right, we'll be back with the second half of tonight's game after the Trib Live High School Sports Network halftime show coming your way next here on WISR, WISR680.com, and as always on the Trib Live High School Sports Network.